Welcome to Jump Scare. I'm Betty B. Deadly.
And I'm Shad Youngblood.
This week we cover Necronomicon.
It's coming!
From horror master H.P. Lovecraft, who inspired the works of both Stephen King and Clive Barker.
The most horrible nightmare.
A trilogy of terror that combines the spine-tingling suspense of Evil Dead with the sensual eroticism of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Taking you into the bowels of hell.
Don't push me away!
And beyond. Jeffrey Combs, David Warner, Bruce Payne, Melinda Bauer, and Richard Lynch. Necronomicon, Book of the Dead, a home video exclusive, coming soon from New Line Home Video.
Yes, yet another creepy, slimy, oozy movie from Brian Usna.
Yeah, Brian Usna, why are you obsessed with buttholes? And if any of you know what I'm talking about, you probably already know that he does have a butthole obsession.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird orifices in this movie.
They all look like buttholes. The drawing in the Necronomicon is a butthole. The monster in the first thing has like a big eyeball, and it's like a butthole slash like octopus thing. Everything is slimy and very butthole looking. I don't know. It's a drinking game right now at this point, because I think I've said butthole like 20 times.
Yeah, I don't know what Brian Usna has for slime in that, but he has definitely got a thing for slime.
So this movie has Jeffrey Combs as Bruce Campbell as Ash. Oh, wait, no, that's not right.
No, it does have Jeffrey Combs in it, and for some reason they put makeup on him that makes him look like Bruce Campbell, including the scar on his chin.
The scar on his chin is actually just really bad scar wax to put the prosthetic on. When you see it in a certain light, the chin looks really bad. Like, right in the first, like, when a couple of first frames, when he's, like, speaking to the monk who's looking for the book, it's just really terrible. But maybe they were trying to make him look like, I mean, H.P. Lovecraft, which is who he's playing, Jeffrey Combs.
He kind of has a long face.
He does have a long face. He has a moon face, so I'm sure they were trying to get that look. But in the end, he looks like a thinner version of Bruce Campbell. I wonder if Bruce Campbell knows. Maybe if we meet him during this October, this spooky.
I'm going to ask him if he knows that Jeffrey Combs looked a lot like him in this movie.
Yeah, we need to take a picture of Jeffrey Combs.
We should give a little breakdown of what this is about. This is Necronomicon from 1993. It's an anthology movie. And it's produced by Brian Usna. And he also directs the wraparound segments and one of the segments within. And it's H.P. Lovecraft goes to this temple. Yeah, they were kind of not clear what was going on there. And
it's the 30s.
Yeah, he's going there to check out books because he's heard the Necronomicon's there. And he's been going there for a while, like setting up some pretense of, I'm just looking at all the other books. I'm not interested in the one evil book that you guys keep here. No, not me, not at all.
Yeah, but he is.
He's interested in that book. So then he finds the Necronomicon locked away. And he begins to read from it. And each of the segments that you see is a story that he's reading from the Necronomicon, which is kind of funny because the main story is taking place in 1932, but he reads stories that take place in the future and the past.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I guess, planned? Why did that happen? They don't really explain. There's not a lot of explanation in the movie. It's no. Kind of like, this is what it is. And then they pull one of those, like, this is the story, but within this story, we're going to tell you another story. So there's, yeah, like, two stories going on at
the same time. That happens in the first one a lot. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm moving into the creepy house that I've inherited, but here's the story that happened to me and the reason why I'm moving into the creepy house. And then here's the history of the creepy house, and then we'll get back to my story in the house later.
I don't know. I feel like maybe Stephen King had something to do with this, in a sense. The second movie, the second story also has a story within a story.
Yeah.
The third one did not.
Yeah, the third one, which was the second one, had a few people you would recognize in it. It had, of course, the great David Warner from Everything. But we'll just say Time After Time. He's been in Scream. He was in Scream 2.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
No, My Best Friend is a Vampire.
Oh, My Best Friend is a Vampire. I'm so sorry.
My Best Friend's Wedding. Oh, that'd be awesome if he was in the
Julia Roberts. He was in the background. You didn't know he was in the background?
Yeah, that'd be awesome if he was in a Julia Roberts movie. Just comes up and sits down and tells her she's going to hell for what she's done. And, yeah, he's in everything. He's been in several Star Trek episodes, movies.
I'm so sorry. I can't get over the My Best Friend's Wedding thing. My Best Friend's a Vampire, which we mentioned in the last podcast, because we discussed another film that had him in it.
Yeah, we'll chalk that up to being late at night.
Yeah, it is late at night. It is essentially 12:16.
In the morning.
A.M. I was going to say P.M.
No, it's not that late. But yeah, he's in it along with Gary Graham, who you'd recognize from Alien Nation. He was the human detective, Matt. He was also in Enterprise playing Ambassador Stovall, I believe. He was the Vulcan ambassador. He's been in a lot of Star Trek episodes. They were in that segment, and I feel like, you know, anytime you can get David Warner to be in your show, it elevates it a little bit. And he's super creepy in this segment. And you even get to see David Warner get a little action, which I don't think I've ever seen in a movie before with him. I've seen him do a lot of things, but I never saw David Warner get laid in a movie before until this one.
Yeah. The
and from a super young girl, too. Go David Warner.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, he was like 500 years old, and she was like 21.
Yeah, so, you know.
You know, it was a little...
Even the 40-year-old one was going to be out. It was going to be young for him.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're supposed to date half your age plus 7 years, so that would be like 257 for him.
Oh, okay. Then it's just about right, then, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
So this film had the... I wasn't actually expecting an anthology. I kind of came into this blind. I had purchased the film at a horror convention, bootleg. I don't think that it's actually been in...
There's no DVD or Blu-ray release of it. It's only on VHS. In the U.S., there's, I think it's a German release of it on DVD and maybe Blu-ray. But in the States, it's never been released. It's one of those weird rights issues where they're arguing about it.
Okay, who would argue about this movie?
If there's a dollar to be made, somebody's arguing about whether or not how much of it they get.
Yeah, so this film is based on three of Lovecraft's short stories, The Rats in the Wall, Cool Air, and The Whisperer in Darkness. Have you read any of those? Because I know that you are kind of, like, mini-versed.
I may have read The Rats in the Walls, but I kind of think they've changed a whole lot of it. This is one of those very loosely based on...
Oh, definitely. I would totally say it was, like, you know, it's an adaptation yeah, from the stories.
Should also mention that the first segment has Richard Lynch in it, who Richard Lynch is the guy, when you see him on screen, you go, oh, well, there's the fucking villain right there. No, don't try and pretend you're a good guy. We know you're evil. He's the creepy dude from the movie God Told Me To, which if you ever see that movie, you can never look at him the same again.
Yeah, you told me a little bit about the movie, and I'm like, no, thank you. So the first story is called The Library. I'm trying to, like...
That's the wraparound.
The wraparound, okay.
That's the segment with Lovecraft and going into the library, hanging out with the weird monks who, spoiler alert, they might be fish people.
Oh, yeah. The Drowned, The Cold are the rest of the stories. Like, they're probably the wraparounds.
No, the wraparound is the library.
I guess because it's okay. It's the main story, and there's other stories within that story.
Yeah. The Drowned, I believe, is the first one. That's the one with Richard Lynch and all that.
Yeah, The Cold, obviously, is the one with David Warner.
David Warner, because he has to live in a special temperature-controlled building. And the last one is...
It's called Butthole.
No, the last one's The Whisperers, I believe. Which I love the David Warner one, because he has to live at a certain temperature. He can't stand heat. So he lives in New York City and just runs the air conditioner all the time. Wouldn't you just move to Alaska?
I would.
Colorado, where it was just, you know, summer lasts for 3 weeks and then it's back to being 60 degrees below zero again.
Well, he is 500 years old, so it's just like, it's kind of hard to move. I mean, you know, being 500, it's just like, you gotta like...
You got so much shit to pack.
It's so much, and then he has like that crypto chamber that's difficult.
Yeah.
To move around.
There was a lot of, for some reason, everything in this movie seemed to survive off of bone marrow or spinal fluid. And everyone had to be constantly sucking bone marrow or spinal fluid in order to live. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I kind of need to taste some now and see what I'm missing out on.
Well, I've had bone marrow recently. Not human bone marrow, from another kind of animal. Who knows what animal it was. I have no idea.
I feel like I need to try some of this human stuff to get it out of my system.
Well, I'm not going to lie. They bought it out and I was like, this looks disgusting. Especially because I have this real like love-hate relationship with meat. And that shit was delicious. They bought like a little French like sliced bread, like baguette, and you like spread it on there. Oh, it was really good. And then there was like coarse salt, and I feel like salt really takes everything up a notch. So
I don't know. I mean, I feel like once you go Soylent Green, you never go back.
Oh goodness. So the film itself, it had animatronics. It had some great makeup work. I mean, you know, for the time, it looked pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Yuzna, one thing you can say about him is that he knows how to make some creepy monsters.
Yeah, he sure does. The special effects and the animatronics were supervised by Tom Savini.
Yeah. So when you put Savini and Yuzna in it together, yeah, he is a guy who, he loves some slime. There is a lot of slime. Everyone in this movie is moist. Like, no one's dry throughout the entire movie. Everyone's a little stinky, a little sticky.
Yeah. And the main guy that did it, which he had just recently passed away in March, was John Carl Buechler?
Buechler.
I'm really terrible pronunciation. And he was a busy guy.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
Troll and... Cellar Dweller.
Cellar Dweller, yeah. I'm sure that's a great one.
And, you know, Ghoulies Go to College. That's great.
He's one of those guys, though, that he did a ton of effects work, and then every now and then they would come along and say, you want to direct the Ghoulies Go to College movie for an extra whatever along with your fees of doing the creatures? It was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, he definitely... I mean, he has, you know, Halloween 4. I guess he liked fours of things. Nightmare on Elm Street 4. And randomly, Hatchet, I guess, is the most recent.
Yeah.
He had.
He did all the effects on the Hatchet movies.
His belt. What was your favorite? I can't get over the butthole thing. I know I'm going back to the beginning where we're talking about the butthole. I noticed it right away. And then I pointed out to Shad, who was like, I don't think so. And then we watched the rest of the film, and it was like, yeah, there's no denying there's a butthole. There's a lot of butthole.
There's a lot of sphincters in this.
Yes. I don't think I'm ever going to get over it. After watching Society, that literally changes you as a person. Like, I can never unsee that.
Ever. Yeah, there's your life before you watch Society and your life after you watch Society.
And my life after I watch Society is that every time I look at something, a lot of the times, I'm just, like, looking at buttholes all the time. The world is full of buttholes.
Society, we should watch that sometime, watch that again sometime and talk about it on here so that we could get a good perspective on it, because that movie is insane.
No, I'm going to say I pass, and I cannot, like, devote another 2 hours of my life. I already lost those hours. I can't do another 2 hours because it's too much for me. Not to get off topic, but the movie just, it's all over the place, and it's a movie about nothing, and it's just like, it was just an excuse to have like orgies and massive orifices and
the shunting, as
yeah, they called the shunting. It's just, no, I'm done. Like, what was this about? Like, I don't. Is this like a PETA thing not to eat meat? Because after, I was just so disgusted. I was just like, I don't think I'm ever gonna eat again. I'm done.
No, well, we don't want to get into deep in Society, but
pun intended.
And this one, I think the one with David Warner, The Cold Hands. Was that the name of it? Cold Hands? Or The Cold?
The Cold.
The Cold, yeah. That's probably the best one because it had the most actual story to it. The last one, I feel like was just kind of a quickie. Like,
it was quick, but it was so effing graphic. And you know, I'm not one for like gore and stuff. It was so gory and really messed up. I think out of the three, all the stories, there's no happy ending for any of the stories. Let's just throw that out there.
Well, that's not entirely true. The second one kind of had a happy ending unless you were the people being killed.
No, there's no happy ending for anyone involved because this, no, there's no happy ending. And then, I don't even know how you, like, she literally has to eat bone marrow for the rest of her life just so she can feel the baby kick once in a while, which it hasn't kicked in, like, God knows how many years this has passed. Like, they didn't really, go into how long it's been since she...
Yeah, spoiler alert here if you don't want to hear any more. In this one, they are using the Necronomicon to get eternal life. Once you get the eternal life, you have to maintain a super cold temperature, and you have to have spinal fluid in order to be able to feel anything. The woman who had sex with David Warner gets pregnant by him and picks up the disease or whatever it is that he has, picks it up from him. And she has to constantly have spinal fluid to keep things going, and she was pregnant. So even though she's been pregnant now for years, she still hasn't given birth to the baby because it's like slowed her aging down and slowed the pregnancy down. So she's still just drinking spinal fluid like, you know, like Sprite so that she can try and have this baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like she's messed a zombie.
Up. A pregnant zombie.
She's a pregnant zombie, and that's because she gets shot in the spine by the main lady that's taking care of David Warner. So she gets all jacked up, and like, that's how she's surviving now. And the scene where David Warner dies, I mean, it's just, like, out of, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, it's a little... There's a great scene where his head just falls over and you just see his eyeball deflate.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it just looks so gruesome. I'm not really into that, but I could appreciate the work it took to, like, create that, and it looked really good on camera. Like, they did an excellent job on it. The movie is worth watching just for the effects, I think. And yeah, the second story is actually it's the best story. The first story, I hated the first story. That was terrible. I did not care for
it. Yeah, it's just a lot of wet, slimy people coming back from the water, and then, oh, surprise, there's more wet, slimy people. Yeah, I wasn't into that one either. Richard Lynch is good, but he needed something more to do.
Yeah, that wasn't a good story. And the third story...
Yeah, the third segment was just all there to be shock value. It was there just to be gross.
Yeah, to be gross, and... yeah, it was just intense. It was a very intense...
They had to think about pregnancy in this, too, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and the baby died or got, like, removed from the mom's belly and moved into the other lady, the, like, alien's belly. It was really weird. It was a
strange Cthulhu monster that they, while they're busy cutting the woman's arms and legs off and drinking the bone marrow, like, with straws from their... Like, the creatures have, like... They look kind of like bats, but they have weird, like... saw-type mouths or tongues. There's have saws on the blades and on their tongue, but they also have straws in them. I don't know. It was really weird. And they're cutting off arms and legs and drinking them like pina coladas around there. And then they remove her baby and put it into the transparent belly of one of the aliens and then show it to her. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, and the transparent baby is just like... In there, it was freaky. I can't watch things now after like having our daughter. I can't watch things where like something messed up is happening to a pregnant lady or like something like is happening to the baby. I just can't do it anymore. I'm just like, no, thank you. Goodbye. It's just too much for me to handle. But overall, I'm jump scares.
Not really, I would say any. It's more gross outs than anything else.
Yeah, definitely.
There was nothing to pop up, like, you know, there's no cats jumped out of the closet or anything like that. So there wasn't anything to jump scare on it, but it was just a lot of things where you're like, oh, Jesus, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and, you know, the movie's slow, very slow at first. Like, the first story, it just seemed like it was never going to end. It was, like, 4 hours long. That's what it seemed like to me. But then it picked up after, you know, once it ended, it was like, oh, okay, we're on to the next story. And that story moved pretty well, which is The Cold. I'm going to throw it out there, our favorite story out of the three. The wraparound story, you know, it was fine. It was just the whole point was just to get H.P. Lovecraft's, like, Necronomicon, like, the book in his hand.
Yeah.
And then he's just going to go away, like, and do his thing.
That's usually, I think the best wraparound story of any horror anthology is in Tales from the Dark Side.
I'm going to say it's Trick or Treat.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know if that one's necessarily an anthology, or is it all just like a Pulp Fiction kind of thing where everything's happening at once?
I think it's deemed to be an anthology, but I don't know, I'm on the fence. I agree on both fronts.
Because I can see, like, you could technically call Pulp Fiction an anthology, because it's several different little short stories. Same thing with Sin City. But yet all the stories kind of connect and meet each other at certain points, so I can see where you could say it's an anthology, or you could say it's not. It's just a movie with several connected stories.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't that, I guess I was going to say, isn't that an anthology in itself?
I don't know.
But
my favorite, though, is still Tales from the Dark Side, because there's just something about Deborah Harry cooking a kid in the oven.
That's a pretty good one.
I love the fact that she had an oven big enough to cook a kid in.
I mean, a good witch does.
You gotta have these things.
Yeah, you have, definitely. How else are you gonna cook the kid? Like, you know, Hansel and Gretel style. She had a huge, like, half of the house was just a fucking oven. She had to fit two kids in there.
But yeah, so Necronomicon, this was from 93. So obviously, like, everything in this was practical. There were no digital effects whatsoever, except maybe a couple of animated fire things that I noticed was like, oh, that's some badly animated fire.
And there was some animation during the Whispers one, too.
Yeah, with the little bats flying around.
Yeah, the little bat, which did look really terrible. But even then,
that was straight just animation. Someone drew a flying bat on the film. That was all that was.
It looked pretty intently terrible.
Yeah.
If that's a good sentence. It's a terrible sentence, but it didn't look good. But hey, it's the sign of the times. Like, you can't really complain. It was 1993.
Yeah, so this was pretty top of the line in terms of effects for 93, and especially in their... They said there was nothing they could do. You know, you're going to have this guy tearing his face off. You get one shot at it. It better look good.
And it did. I give it that segment a thumb up.
Yeah, I would say for this one, on your knife scale, I would give it 2 knives for the actual movie, but 3 knives for the effects.
I agree. Totally. Can we discuss the part where David Warner leaked ooze out of his neck as he's making love to the girl, and he all of a sudden it like he okay the ooze is kind of visualize this, he's naked and old and on top of a young woman in like
it was like a little greenhouse,
and he has 2 holes on the side of his neck, and this, like, pinkish ooze starts coming out as he's, like, giving his best O face. And it was just so wrong, because I'm like, ew, is that, does that mean, like, he came and, like, this is his O face? Like, are we looking at, like, the
and
cum?
And he's got cum coming out of his neck?
Oh, terrible. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so graphic. And his face was just like... thank goodness there was no sound to go with that, but his face was like,
well, look, I'm going to say David Warner's a great actor, but I'm going to guess he has not had a lot of experience with sex scenes.
Okay, well, no, I'm going to say he definitely did not. He does.
That's going to be like your, you know, if you ask Gunnar Hansen or one of them to do a sex scene.
Bless his soul.
Yeah, it's going to be like, he probably isn't going to be very good at acting that, because he didn't get a lot of experience with that over the years.
You know, we can't really... I mean, we don't know about that. We don't know if...
No, I'm saying in acting-wise.
Oh, acting-wise. Okay, acting-wise. Yes. Acting-wise, definitely not. He, you know, Leatherface is not going to have
sex. No one calls on
scenes.
The horror icon actors to be like, yeah, you're going to be the romantic lead in this movie. You're going to get to make love to this beautiful woman. That doesn't happen to them a lot at all. So when that happens, they're probably not really ready for it. They're like, excuse me, Robert Englund, you're still making the Freddy face while you're kissing her. We're going to need you to stop that.
Ew. He did have, like, a makeout thing with Nancy through the phone. And that was a big old tongue. And then, later on, he did have that weird, like... in part two, like, that he came out of a good dude. There was a lot of things going in that movie.
That movie, yeah. There's a lot of things that happen in that movie that are wrong.
We're just running on tangents. See this film. We... have the bootleg, but there's a pretty... Well, no, I was going to say there's a good copy on YouTube, but...
there's a clear copy on YouTube, but someone took it upon themselves to, when they put it on there, to, hey, I'm going to put some black bars on it and make it look like it's widescreen, but I'm going to cut off half the people's faces, and I'm going to cut off the logo of the movie with by black bars.
So. Yeah, they didn't realize that, you know, full screen was a thing, and they were just like, oh, that's fine. We're just going to make it look like widescreen, and just by me cutting it this way, that's going to look automatically like widescreen. And, like, there's part of that movie, it's like a Morticia Adams kind of thing, where it's just, like, eyes... like, just the whole screen, there's just eyes, like a block over the eyes, and then a block over the mouth. It's just really weird. It's terrible.
We started watching it there. I was like, no, I think we have a bootleg of this somewhere. So, yeah, definitely seek out a bootleg of it, or seek out the, if you have an, international player, then seek out the, like, German DVD of it. I've heard that's pretty good.
Yeah, or we have two of them. We don't need to, so we'll just send it to you. I mean, whoever's the first person that's like, hey, I need to see this movie, you leave it in the comments or DM us or anything on Instagram. We would be more than happy to send a copy of this film to you. Yep. So you can see it. So
we don't need both of them.
No, we don't. We don't need double butthole DVDs. That's for sure. So thank you for joining us and our tangents and the word BH 1,000 times. I could not get away from it. It's literally...
We'll be back next time with a less butthole-ish movie and one with far less slime in it.
Yes, definitely. There was a lot of slime. I need to know, like, how many buckets... Was it like the supplier? Were they like, excuse me, yes. I need a bucket of slime.
I heard for Society that they use something like 100 gallons of KY.
That's disgusting.
That was probably just the tip of the iceberg in that movie.
Pun intended. Tip of the iceberg. Guys, once again, follow us on Instagram, Horamino, Facebook. We're on... Jump Scare Podcast and or Orlando Horror Society. Facebook, we're under that handle. Horamino, we're under both handles. And IG, we're under Jump Scare Podcast. And also, if you have no way, if you have no way of listening to this via iTunes and Podbean, hit us up on YouTube.
Yep, and you can listen to us there.
Yeah, you won't be able to see us yet, but you'll definitely be able to hear us and all of our BH discussions. I can't say it again. Someone already is, like, drunk on the floor with how many times I've said it. All the shots they've taken so far, they're, like, belligerent, drooling. Thank you, and have a great night, and stay into the horror. Stay tuned to the horror.
There you go.
Butthole.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.